Couple of letters to the editor. Let's hope my reading skills are up to the task. From the U.S. Whore Today, Wednesday, June 7. Marriage bill seeks to strip freedoms. Senator Wayne Allred, whatever his damn name is, Republican of Colorado, claims that the Marriage Protection Amendment, what a hand job name, which he authored, will define marriage while leaving to state legislatures the freedom to address the question of civil unions and domestic partnerships. Well, hey, dude, if you're going to leave it up to the states, why don't you just shut the hell up, leave things alone, and let it up to the states? What the hell's wrong with you? Let's pass a bunch of laws that are going to leave it up to the states. Well, instead of climbing a tree and doing a bunch of work, why don't you sit on the damn ground and let the status quo hang? As a gay conservative who will be directly affected by this legislation, check that out. As a gay conservative, well, hey, guess what, dude? You don't have a lot of room to talk here. If you're a conservative, if you've been voting to put these assholes in power, don't come whining to us when the people that you voted for screwed you. What are you, nuts? Is this part of that Jews for Hitler brigade we've been hearing a bunch about, this gays for Bush? I'm outraged that Senator Allred is misleading the American people. Well, that's what Republicans do, and you vote for them, stupid. What's wrong with you, stupid? The amendment's language does nothing to protect civil unions or domestic partnerships. If anything, the new language of the amendment would create a murky legal scenario that would be debated in the courts for years to come. In the meantime, it's likely that the amendment, if passed, would be used to justify the invalidation of civil unions, domestic partnerships, and hospital visitation rates for same-gender couples. Well, see, maybe God's punishing you, sir. Maybe if you would vote Democrat, hell, for all we know, your vote might have swung an election. You know, there's that old deal, if I only had a nail, I could have driven the horseshoe into my horse's hoof, and if I just had one more horse, I could have won one more battle, and if I had just won that one more battle, I would have won more, I would have won one more war, but no, you lost it all because of that nail. Well, hey, guess what, Patrick M. Killen of Albuquerque, that's a pretty good name, Patrick Killen, you're killing yourself, dude. Don't be voting Republican and then start whining about what the Republicans are doing to you because you're gay. That's what they do. They hate you, dude. Why don't you see that? That's what they stand for. Every 2 years, they pull out men kissing, incoming, men kissing, incoming. Oh, war in Iraq, don't worry about that. Missing $20 trillion. Remember, we were 9 ahead when Clinton left. Now we're 12 behind. That's $21 trillion that's missing. No reason to worry about that. The pension fund is all going to hell. You know, nobody's even talked about that. Tens of millions of Americans are going to retire, and they're going to go to their pension fund, and it's going to be gone because Bush looted it. Bush and his damn criminal friends have looted it. It's gone. Health care, gone. Social Security, gone. Medicare, gone. It's all fucking gone, and no one cares because men are kissing. Incoming. Hello. Look out. Medic. Medic. You're killing me, Patrick. All right, I'm tired of Patrick. We're going right on to the next deal. This one's cleverly entitled, Two Left Shoes. In response to the gay marriage debate, no matter what their style, two left shoes do not make a pair, and two persons of the same sex do not make a marriage. Well, now, have you ever heard any better logic in your whole life? If a left shoe won't fit on your right foot, you can't be happy, Mr. Gay Person. That's how logic works in Republican land. There's more involved in marriage than two people legally sharing a home and a bed. For example, the balance of masculine and feminine natures. Hey, dude, not your concern. Not your concern. Who is this? Oh, it's a doctor. Dr. Margaret Lay, L-A-L-E-I-G-H, from St. George, Utah. Ah. What number wife are you, Dr. Lay? Idiot. Hi, I'm going to need a doctor for Utah. And if you can't put a right shoe on your left foot, then you two can't live together. Great logic, doctor. Gee, do you do surgery? Can I come right over? While it might be reasonable to allow adults of any gender to create legal domestic partnerships that allow them to share finances, insurance, and inheritances, sharing a bed should not be the required or even discussed. Uh-oh, now she's starting to make sense. I don't want to know what people do in the privacy of their own homes. Well, then shut the hell up. Look at you, yet another tree climber. You know, as an old crazy finance man from Texas used to always talk about that phrase. You know, about you could sit there on the ground and do nothing, or you can. I think it was a you can stand on the ground and tell the truth, or you can climb up a tree and tell a bunch of lies, and then spend the rest of your life trying to explain them. Why not just stand on the ground and tell the truth? It's so much easier. Everything works so much better. Your whole life works easier. We don't have to spend all your time explaining the last lie. Oh, the tangled web. Does it harm me if others call their same-sex relationship a marriage? Yes. Now, check this out. Now, she started out being a wacko hand job with the two shoes analogy. Then she said, what two people do in their bed is none of my damn business. So all of a sudden, now she's making sense. And then she closes with this idiocy. Does it harm me if others call their same-sex marriage a relation? Ready? Does it harm me if all... Ready? Does it harm me if others call their same-sex relationship a marriage? Yes, in the same way that it would harm you if I distributed my own newspaper and called it USA Today. Dr. Margaret Lay, L-E-I-G-H, St. George, Utah. Hey, doctor, you're an idiot. You're a big effing idiot. You know why? Because if I start a newspaper called USA Today, some people are going to buy it because people are stupid, and they're going to not buy a real USA Today because they bought mine. And that takes money out of USA Today's pocket. How in the hell does someone get married in Maryland take money out of your pocket in Utah? You moron. Did you get your doctor's certificate from the Utah School of Medicine? Did the Utah Medical Board give you the license? What kind of... You know, Utah's like one of only three states that still think Bush is doing a good job. So it figures that this hand job's from Utah. Oh, they drive me crazy. Here we go. Here we got some common sense for you. For the first time in many years, as a gay American, I find myself agreeing with President Bush. I firmly believe that we as a society need to protect the institution of marriage. We should start, however, not by getting gay. You know, if you think this is easy, pick up a newspaper, turn on a recorder, pick up a newspaper, start reading it. See how many mistakes you make. Here I am on show 94. I can't read a damn sentence. We should start. Let's just start off. What do you think? For the first time in many years as a gay American, I find myself agreeing with President Bush. I firmly believe that we as a society need to protect the institution of marriage. We should start, however, not by banning gay marriage, but by banning heterosexual divorce. That would save, unquote, about half of all marriages. Good point. Good point. All these sons of bitches that want to ban gay marriage. You got the vulgar pig boy, he's already had three women throw him out the house. You got Newt Gingrich, already had three women throw him out the house. Who else? Name somebody besides the Bushes. Well, they're so gay. They got all their gay boyfriends hidden on the side, so their women are so stupid, they don't get it. But name pretty much any Republican, and he's on his either second or third or fourth wife. And they want to protect marriage. Blow me! What is wrong with people? They don't see that it's so easy. Too bad the Democrats can't think to bring that up. When the idiots start screaming gay marriage, you say, what did your first and second wife say about that? That's so easy and it cuts so deep. Oh, it cuts. Cuts like a knife. It's so easy to do, but no, that wouldn't be right. Mr. Rowe wouldn't like it. Arguments not valid. Marriage in the USA is a civil union. Marriage licenses are issued by the government. The people who perform marriages are licensed by the government. The fact that many are religious leaders is coincidental and irrelevant. Uh-oh. Now, see, we got one of these guys starts out making sense. Funny when people write a letter to the editor, they start out making sense, and then they go crazy, and then they come back to making sense, and they go crazy. Why can't everybody be like old Bart, making sense all the time? Okay. The arguments for a ban on gay marriage are based on religious preference and prejudice. Those arguments have no validity in the U.S. Constitution. I agree. The race, religious persuasion, ability or disability, intelligence quotient level, or of education, profession, or any other attribute of partners of one marriage do nothing for or against any other marriage. I am glad, because the only problem I have in there was intelligent quotient. What if they said people with IQs of 64 can't marry people with IQs above 100? Me and Mrs. Bart couldn't get married. I sure am. You know, next thing is a constitutional. let's amend the Constitution to where stupid people can't marry smart women. Oh, no, I'm in trouble. Now, that would affect my marriage, so I'd have to fight for that one. The gender of partners in one marriage does nothing for or against any other marriage. Can you put it any more simple than that? I don't think you can. Oh, if two men are kissing, I lose my marriage. How? Well, it sends a signal, a slippery slope. You know, that is so stupid. Okay, the gender of partners, one marriage, had nothing to do with any other marriage, we agree. If we want to amend the Constitution to preserve the institution of marriage, then let's ban extramarital affairs and spouse abuse. That's a good idea. We should make it illegal to have an affair. There you go, let's do that. You go to prison for a year if you cheat on your husband or your wife. Cool! Of course, Clinton would be in jail, but every Republican would be. You know, think about it. I might be the only guy not in jail. That means I might have to do some work. Belay that idea. Last one here. Letter to the editor entitled On the Ropes. Here we go again with an election drawing near. This sounds like Brickell or me. Here we go again with an election drawing near. The Republicans on the ropes. All we hear about from the Republican marriage is gay marriage, boys kissing. Oh, my God. Oh, help me. Oh, my God. Oh, help me. What about Iraq? What about the huge budget deficit? What about the government corruption? What about immigration reform? What about rebuilding New Orleans? What about the goddamn bird flu that's coming? Oh, I'm still worried about the bird flu. I know that Rummy's got a patent on the cure or whatever, that Tamiflu. He's got something to do with that. And be that as it may, I always thought that was a dumb phrase, be that as it may. But the point is, the people who are dead are not complaining about who owned the cure. They're complaining because they didn't have the cure or the whatever, the Tamiflu. So, and I, for one, we all saw New Orleans, you know. Everybody's listening to this, saw a few days in New Orleans on their TV. I don't want that in my hometown. If we lose electricity and power and water and gas and every other damn thing, and I can't go to the store to buy food, because, you know, the flu, you know, the hand job sack and groceries got the bird flu and coughing on me, and the butcher's got bird flu coughing on my hamburger, and, you know, everybody's got bird flu coughing on everything. Now we got trouble. Now we got trouble. Don't like trouble. So what they're going to do when the bird flu hits, they're going to say, nobody could have predicted the bird flu. Well, yeah, they did a year ago, and you were giving us that nobody could have predicted, just like 9/11, just like every damn thing that happened. Nobody could have predicted the hurricane. Well, duh, the satellites did 5 days before it hit. Then you went on vacation. You went to goddamn Crawford, Texas, and said, oh, I can run the whole world from here. I got faxes. I got email. I got teleconferencing. I got secure satellite channels. Well, then where the hell were you? Why didn't you send them trucks in for 5 days, you moron? Closing out letters to the editor. When election time comes up, the conservative Republican leaders rile up their base to get elected, and then when the election is over, you don't hear anything more about boys kissing until the next election. The conservative voters get played for a bunch of fools every single time, Anthony Sanchez, San Jose. You know, Anthony, they couldn't do it if the Democrats had half a brain. I got an IQ of 64, and I'm apparently among the smartest Democrats in the whole country. Because you can't, not you, Anthony, but the Republicans can't name a subject that I can't give you an answer for. Every time, no matter what they say, they start screaming, boys kissing, I'm going to scream 2,500 dead soldiers. And they're going to scream, boys kissing again. I'm going to say, come back, 2,500 dead soldiers, talk to me, explain yourself. Saw that on a Cheers one time. Sam did something that pissed Diane off. And she ran up to him and got about an inch from his nose, and she said, explain yourself, and just stop talking. That is excellent. That is effing excellent. If you're ever in an argument with somebody, hit them with a zinger and then say, explain yourself. And all of a sudden, they got the floor, and every face in the room turns to them, and they're going, the dangers of boys kissing far outweigh the dead because... The moral, yeah, that's right, 2,500 dead soldiers, 2,500 funerals with them hand jobs from Kansas screaming, God hates fags. Who would believe it? Boys kissing, the biggest threat to hit America. And it's only the biggest threat to hit America because the Democrats can't figure out a way to say that's not important. See, I get ready to do this next bit, and I look on TV, and I see Ann Coulter talking to Lou Dobbs. A lot of people write to me and say, no, Bart, you got it all wrong. Lou Dobbs is a liberal. Trust me, he's not. I don't know if he's ever been. But he's real gung-ho on companies leaving the country, getting a P.O. box in the Bahamas, and not paying any taxes. He's big on that, and he's big on protecting the borders, which is fine. That's a niche issue that he can have if he wants. But when Ann Coulter was on his show, he was licking her up and down. Oh, I love you, Ann Coulter. Oh, you're the greatest. Oh, some people say you're a little strident. Some people say you're not exactly considered of the, you know, he was just such a suck ass. My God. Lou Dobbs, go away. Please go. I mean, yeah, it's fun when you bash Bush, and it's fun when you do some of the things, but don't anybody out there think for a second that Lou Dobbs is anything but a Republican whore. And I guess now and then they think they get street cred by calling Bush on something. But if you saw the Lou Dobbs and Coulter interview, it would just make you sick, because he had a chance to confront her, and she kept weaseling out of everything, like every one of them. Oh, we got a Bill Bennett coming up somewhere in this issue, I hope. And we got a, what else have we got? Oh, there was a weasel on the McLaughlin report. I like the McLaughlin report because they move from subject to subject sometimes pretty quick, and I need that because I have a small brain. Anyway, on to the bit I was going to do. Going to let you in on a little secret. Well, tell you what, before I tell you the secret, I'm going to read you a little thing here out of the newspaper. This is from the U.S. Whore Today, Thursday, June 8th. Blacks support and attend St. Louis Cardinals games. Now, this is politics. Don't think we're talking about sports here. Noonie, noonie. This is politics. I took great umbrage with USA Today's feature, Where Are Black Ball Players? Which apparently was in a store issue a week ago Friday. I wholeheartedly agree that one of the primary reasons there are not more black ball players is because young black males are not playing baseball as much as in the past. The effort on the part of some black ball players to sway youth towards baseball is to be commended. My issue is with Minnesota Twins center fielder Torrey Hunter's reported assessment that when he scans the stands in Detroit, St. Louis, Atlanta, L.A., or Chicago, he almost never sees more than two African Americans. Now, that's a wild charge. It may be true. I mean, it would be my guess that man certainly said that, this Torrey Hunter, who I don't know. Maybe he's the hottest thing since sliced bread up in Minnesota, but never heard of Torrey Hunter. But he says when he goes to Detroit, St. Louis, Atlanta, L.A., or Chicago, he almost never sees more than two African-Americans in the stands, which is boggling. Because I assume when you're standing on second base and you look around, I think you can probably tell who's white and who's black. So he's looking at tens of thousands of people and claiming to see only two black people, or three or four kind of thing, out of, say, 30,000 in attendance. And trust me, almost all the games in St. Louis are sold out. We'd like to go up. They got a new stadium. We'd like to go see the Cardinals. But no, they said every seat was sold out for the whole year. But as I understand it, they're continuing construction. So as the year goes by, they're going to open more seats. Maybe, I don't know. But it'd be nice to go see a Cardinal game. All right, back to the race story here. I cannot speak for other cities mentioned, but as a lifelong St. Louis Cardinals fan and one who attends several games a year, I almost always find more than a handful of Americans, African Americans, at the Cardinals games. Well, that's no endorsement. He always finds more than a handful of black people at the Cardinals home games. Well, the stadium holds 30,000-40,000 people. I'd like to think a handful. I mean, be my guess, the city of St. Louis, the city proper, is probably a quarter black, maybe a third black, because all the whites moved to the suburbs. But this guy's calling in to call the Torrey Hunter on that by saying he always sees more than a handful. Well, geez, seems like you ought to be seeing a fourth of the stadium. Maybe black people don't like baseball so much. That's fine. Continuing on, I've attended Cardinals games at three Busch stadiums. The Cardinals, whenever they build a new stadium, they just call it Busch Stadium, which is kind of strange since Busch sold the Cardinals. Can you believe that? That pissed me off. Budweiser is a multi-billion-dollar worldwide, billions and billions of billions of dollars, and they sold the Cardinals for $250 million, which is nothing. I mean, I can't afford that, but $250 million, please? Oprah could buy three of those in an afternoon. Now, why would a giant billion-dollar conglomerate like Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, whatever you want to call it, why would they dump the Cardinals? Cardinals and Budweiser have gone together for 50 years at least. I don't know when they got involved, but ever since I've had, my dad worked for the Sporting News, so I grew up baseball. And Harry Carey used to be in St. Louis, and every time someone would get a hit or hit a home run, he said, oh, I'm going to pour me a cold Budweiser. And in the old stadium, I guess in the scoreboard, when somebody hit a home run, or maybe just when a Cardinal hit a home run, the giant A for Anheuser-Busch would light up. Big, giant A, red. And the eagle, the golden eagle from Budweiser, the eagle would start flapping his wings. And it was like, oh, God, look at the eagle. It's so exciting when you're a kid. Somebody hits a home run, and 40,000 people stand up and scream, and the eagle comes to life and starts flying, not around the stadium or anything. But that was just a really big thing. And then wake up one day, and they sell the Cardinals like you or I would throw some shoes away. Boy, that pissed me off. All right, back to the story. I've attended Cardinals games at three Busch stadiums and never felt as if I were the lone African-American in attendance. The St. Louis Cardinals are one of the most storied franchises in all sports. Its fans enjoyed this da-da-da-da-da. I enjoyed the efforts of Hunter and other black baseball players in launching Urban League, literally, da-da-da-da. Okay, so I don't know anything about this. A charge was made. It would be my guess. I would think there's a bunch of black people in the stands, but in years past when I've been to games, seems like there are more white people than black, but now here's where I'm going to tell you the secret story. Nobody knows that we did this on the QT. In December, Mrs. Bart, I shouldn't use her name, I wanted to see U2 again. And they were playing in St. Louis. And we kind of wanted to go, but we kind of didn't. I mean, we'd seen them already, and But at the last second, my ne'er-do-well buddy Kurt pointed me to Craigslist. I don't know how it works. You go to Craigslist.com/St. Louis or something. Anyway, they have a whole ticket on there, a whole section on there for tickets. So we looked up, and there was a lady, said, two tickets for U2 show. They were bad tickets, but two tickets for U2 show, dirt cheap. So I called her and said, how much? And we made a deal for dirt cheap. Next day, me and Mrs. Bart jumped in the Bartmobile, drove to St. Louis, met her in the Schnucks parking lot. Transacted her. They look like real tickets. Boy, you hate to give somebody cash in a parking lot for some tickets, but they look real nice. Why are you selling these tickets? And I said, well, I thought I was getting married, and we just couldn't afford it. I said, what do you mean thought? And she said, well, he's not being we may be getting married, we may not be. Well, that's a whole other story. So, okay, so we're going to the U2 concert in St. Louis. This is sometime in December, December 4th, 5th, somewhere maybe. Okay, so we get on there. And it was all finally cut, too. We got to St. Louis probably 4 or 5 o'clock, and the show, doors open at 7, so we don't have much time to lose. We're going to meet this lady in the Schnucks, grab our Emo's pizza, stop by, get some White Castles, go to Ted Drew's, and we did all the important things. And then we headed to the concert. And I've been going to concerts since 1971. Oh, I got to tell you, the backup band for U2 was Kanye West. You heard him, gold digger. She ain't nothing but a gold digger. And that's one reason, that's one reason I wanted to go, because I like Kanye West. I really do like Kanye West. He's the best of the rappers, they say. So we go to the show, and first time in 35 years, lights go down, and Bono walks out on the stage, and the place goes ape shit like you'd figure. I mean, who would expect him to walk out first? He said, ladies and gentlemen, St. Louis, welcome. Great to see you. We got a great show for you tonight. I'd like to personally introduce this man. He's a man of religion. He's a man of soul. He's a man of conscience. He's a man of, he went on for a while like Bono tends to do. Bono and Clinton have some things in common. Anyway, and we're so thrilled to have him on the show with us, and I give you Kanye West. And so he runs off the stage, and Kanye West comes out. Played a confusing set in that rap is so much word dependent. And if you're playing a cavern like Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis, you've got to have the sound system of all time, which you figure U2 would have. But somehow, if you go see a U2 show, you kind of know what the words are going to be. And so in your brain processes when Bono starts a line, he's singing that line, so you understand it. But when you're listening to some rap records for the first time, you need to catch every word, or it doesn't mean a lot. And he had that weird band. I guess maybe by now you've probably seen that weird band of his. He comes out with... there's a violin, maybe two violins, and a cello, and a harp. When was the last time you paid to go to a concert and it was a harp? And some other odd stuff. Anyway, so Kanye comes out, and he plays a pretty good set. And, you know, of course, I guess he closed the Gold Digger or whatever. And, you know, oh, no, it was pretty good, except that you couldn't hear the words. Anyway, so Kanye, he says, thank you, good night. He walks off. U2 comes out. Place goes apeshit. They play a bunch of songs. Everybody having a good time. Except you. You're talking about the end of the world. No. Everybody having a good time. And then it happened. Oh, I was so shocked. Bono was as shocked as I was. Maybe more so. But anyway, so they're between songs, and Bono says, yeah, I always like coming back to St. Louis. Yeah, you know, typical crowd suck. And then he says, we'd really like to thank Kanye West for opening up for us. And a wave of boos came from the crowd that was stunning. It was effing stunning. And I don't know if I was looking at the through the binoculars at the time, we had way bad seats, or if it was on the big screen, but Bono was very visibly shocked. I mean, he's got the showmanship and the common sense. He's done, what, 200 shows a year for 25 years? He's done 5,000 shows. He's not the new guy in the spotlight, but he held his shock in check. But why in the world? This all gets back to the story about there's no black people in the stadium. I don't know why. I don't know if St. Louis has a race problem, or if they have a Kanye West problem, or if they have a baseball problem. I'm just throwing things out here because I don't know. But when Bono said, we'd like to thank Kanye West for opening for us, you would not believe the wave of boos that flew over that crowd. Now, hey, maybe this is like, you know, when Bruce Springsteen shows up and he goes, Bruce, Bruce. Maybe there's some boo-sounding thing that goes with Kanye that I'm not familiar with, but I was shocked. Hey, all the people around us, which admittedly there was, but, and I was surprised I didn't see more black people at the Kanye West / U2 concert. But we didn't see hardly any black people around us. And when that wave of boos hit, boy, the shock on Bono's face was palpable, is my new word. But anyway, so that's kind of all there is to that story. If anyone listening to this, all four of you, has any idea why St. Louis would boo Kanye, or if there's some kind of boo noise that goes along with Kanye West, send me an email or call the BART phone or something. Tell me about it. But I was shocked. St. Louis, as far as I know, didn't have a race problem, but you should have heard him boo Kanye. And what would they... Now, Axl Rose, sure. When Axl Rose played the River Parks Theater, whatever it was in St. Louis, hell, that's been 10 years ago. Something happened. He told the crowd, hey, you suck off and fuck yourself. And it's, oh, boy, you don't want to be Axl Rose in St. Louis. I think I was in somewhere else in St. Louis, and the name Axl came up, and, yeah, it was... Oh, well, more than what Kanye got, because in St. Louis, I just like, you know, Axel's the Antichrist in St. Louis. And another thing, even if St. Louis, let's say, had a disproportionate number of Republicans, which I have no reason to believe that, St. Louis or Missouri is a swing state. I think it goes either way in most elections. You know, you have to go there and fight because it's not Oklahoma and it's not California. It's a maybe state. But on top of that, it's a U2 concert. Is a racist, Republican, black-hating thug going to go to a U2 concert? That doesn't sound right. Why would the U2 fans boo Kanye West? If you have an answer, write to me. Yeah.